Welcome to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast, where you have a chance to listen to our most recent Sunday morning message. Please take a minute and subscribe to this podcast, and if you're interested, learn more about us by checking out our website at www.warsaw.cc. We hope this message inspires you, helps build your faith, and gives you a new perspective on your journey. And now, here's today's message.
Why, good morning, Warsaw Community Church. Bienvenidos, buenos dias. For those who are joining us online, we want to say thank you. Thank you for joining us and just opening up your hearts in worship. I just want to say just an awesome job to the worship team, to our tech crew who just allow us to enter into God's presence. So, and actually, I'm going to be honest with you, with the song list that we had, we could have ended it right there. But then I'd have a meeting come Monday, so we're not. Now, on the first two services, I actually sort of ended up a little short by about 5 minutes. So I'm going to extend this service by about 10 because I need to keep that average. So I hope no one's hungry. No, I'm just kidding. I am seriously just super excited to be here this morning to be able to speak into the fifth week of Life on Missions. Especially on the heels of our Global Focus Mission Week that we had a week and a half ago, from a taste of missions, we had a night of worship that we got to hear from some of our mission partners. Just a wonderful time that we had. And last week, when Danny went ahead and closed our Mission Week, he challenged us to ask ourselves, who is our neighbor? And that our neighbor is more than those who look like us, think like us, agree with us, and even vote like us. Many times and often is our neighbor those who are distinctively different than us, yet need to hear the good news of Jesus Christ. I also got to spend a little bit of time with my good friend, Roger Reyes. He is a pastor planting two churches in villages of Honduras. And we do a weekly Zoom call on Wednesday mornings. So I told him the last week of April. He goes, hey, Roger, next time you come up here. Actually, I told him in Espanol. So he goes, Roger, la próxima vez que estás con nosotros, because he doesn't understand English. So I couldn't tell him in English. I told him, he goes, hey, next time you're here, we're going to have coffee together. And we did. We got together at Crazy Eggs for breakfast, and I had to explain to him why we put chicken on top of waffles. And I had to explain to him what gravy is, because he had no concept of what American gravy is. I found out it's a very American thing, but he did love it. He also loved the fact that as a church, our series title was Life on Mission. He liked it because in our conversation that Wednesday morning, he tells me, he goes, missions is not an event. Missions is not a destination. Missions is not a trip that we take in the summer. That missions is actually a lifestyle. It is something that we're called. And it is not just for those who are sent, but it's also for those who stay. It is not whether we minister globally or locally, but that we minister both as a church, globally and locally. It is not about my nation and their nations, but according to Psalms 117, about all the nations. So you and I are called to take the good news. We're called to take the good news that Christ died for our sins across oceans and across the street, starting right here where we're at. So I get to draw our attention to our local missions and living life on mission. So I'm going to ask that you turn your Bibles or open your apps, or you can just follow me on the screen. That's easy too. To the 8th chapter of Acts, as we look at an encounter that Philip had on the road to Gaza. So this is Acts 8, 4 and 24 to 35. I'll be reading out of the New Living Translation, and this is what the Word of God says. But the believers who were scattered preached the good news about Jesus wherever they went. As for Philip, an angel of the Lord said to him, go south down the desert road that runs from Jerusalem to Gaza. So he started out and he met the treasurer of Ethiopia, a eunuch of great authority under the Kandake, the queen of Ethiopia. The eunuch had gone to Jerusalem to worship, and he was now returning. Seated in his carriage, he was reading aloud from the book of the prophet Isaiah. And the Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk alongside the carriage." Philip ran over and heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah, and Philip asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And the man replied, "How can I, unless someone instructs me?" And he urged Philip to come up into the carriage and sit with him. And the passage of scripture that he had been reading was this: "He was led like a sheep to the slaughter, and as a lamb in silent before the shears, he did not open his mouth. He was humiliated and received no justice. Who can speak of his descendants? For his life was taken from the earth." And the eunuch asked Philip, "Tell me, was the prophet talking about himself or someone else?" And I like this part. "So beginning with the same scripture, Philip told him the good news about Jesus." Let us pray. Father God, we just come before you, just thankful that we have this opportunity just to worship freely. Lord, I just ask that my words be few this morning, but that your will be done. I pray that our hearts and minds be receptive, Lord, for what you have as you challenge our hearts to live according to your will. This in your beautiful name, I ask and pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. So today, I continue to draw our attention to what it means to live a life on mission in hopes to give us, the church, a practical and applicable means to live or make an impact in the world that we live in. So for those who are taking notes, we will look at Philip. If you're taking notes for a study group, if you're taking notes for personal study, maybe you have a growth group that just extended, but we'll look at how Philip moved in closer, listened with intention, led with questions on his road south to Gaza. But before, I would like to introduce three characters. Our first character is the one, obviously, that is mentioned here in Scripture, and that is Philip. Philip is a Greek-speaking Jewish Christian who was willing to be used by God in whatever capacity, including serving tables at the church. As the early church continued to grow, we are introduced to Philip in Acts chapter 6 as one of the seven men chosen to serve tables and to distribute food to the neglected. The second character that is mentioned here is the eunuch. The eunuch is a castrated black man who holds the highest possible position in Ethiopia outside of the king's family. He is the CFO. He is the personal accountant to the Kandake, who is the title of the Egyptian or the Ethiopian queen. The queen was in charge of all the secular affairs because the king was too sacred. This eunuch was sexually altered so as to not be a threat to the king and unable to have children so he could focus on his vocation. Sometimes this was done against a person's will, and sometimes it was done by choice for career advancement. And the third character that we have is the third person of the Trinity, and that is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit, who is active in the church 2,000 years ago and continues to be active in his church today. His role throughout the book of Acts and throughout all of history is to point people to Jesus. So we have this Ethiopian eunuch who travels over 1,200 miles by chariot to worship the Hebrew God at the temple of Jerusalem. Now, mind you, this is not your Sunday drive to Warsaw Community Church. I know some have maybe a 15-mile drive to get here. Some, like myself, just a couple of miles away. This is 1,200 miles in a dusty desert road with no air condition, no Spotify, and no reclining chairs. Now, I sat in a chair in one of these cars, I forgot which one it was, and it had massaging chair, and I fell in love with it. No, this was not it. You know, I would not mind driving 1,200 miles in one of those cars, in one of those vehicles. We don't know exactly why he wanted to worship at the temple, but we have an idea of what he experienced. And that would have been rejection. Because in Deuteronomy 23, the eunuchs are specifically called out and forbidden from joining and being part of God's people. They are forbidden from becoming part of the assembly of the Lord. So we find this eunuch rejected at the temple doors, returning home, struggling to understand what he is reading, this scroll from Isaiah. And here's where the eunuch story and Philip's story converges with God's story of redemption. So my first point here is to move in closer. God doesn't give Philip any more information. Philip doesn't have any details given to him. He doesn't have a clue who this man is riding on 22-inch chariot wheels. I don't know. You know, I could just imagine a gold inlaid, all blacked out carriage. If I had that money, I would. All Philip knows, all this table server of Jerusalem knows, is that the Holy Spirit told him to move in closer. Another observation that I would like to point out here is that these two men could be no more different from each other. We have a Greek-speaking Jewish Christian who serves tables and runs the church food program, and we have a powerful, black, sexually altered man from the southern tip of the known earth. And what God was about to do was to make these two men, who are very different, brothers. Because that is what the gospel does. That is what the good news that Christ died for everyone's sin, is for all. That the good news, starting right here and to the ends of the world, demolishes all social and racial and economic and cultural barriers. That the good news brings together what the enemy and what sin has tried to divide. That is the power of the good news. God will position us exactly where he wants us to be when we're willing to move in closer. So church, don't ignore those gentle nudges from the Holy Spirit. Don't ignore that gentle nudge to serve someone who may be completely different than you. Again, verse 29 says this as we continue. The Holy Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and walk along beside the carriage." So Philip ran over, and he heard the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. I love the image here. Philip doesn't give any excuses. He doesn't say, yeah, but this, I don't know who that is. No, it says that Philip runs over to the carriage. And I could just imagine that he hops on the running board to the carriage there, and he's holding on as this carriage continues. And as he does, he hears this man struggling to understand what he is reading. Philip doesn't know who this man is. Philip doesn't know what this man is going through, but nonetheless, Philip hears the man reading from the prophet Isaiah. Unless we're willing to move in closer, it is impossible to listen to someone's struggle or hurt and pain. Unless we become vulnerable and move in closer, it is impossible to engage for kingdom's sake. So what Philip does here is that he listens with intention. I am a product of a man who listened to God say, move on over and walk alongside this young Mexican kid. I was hurting, feeling dejected, struggling to understand my life at the age of 19, 20, and God uses a young youth pastor from a small town Pentecostal church to help me understand grace and acceptance. This is what the gospel does. For all Philip knew was that this Ethiopian eunuch was catching up on the Roman times. He was scrolling through his scroll at the Sabbath funnies, or maybe the marketplace. But Philip yielded to the Spirit, moves in closely, and listens with intention. So the question for us today is, who has God been wanting you to draw in closer just to listen? So we continue. When Philip heard the man reading from Isaiah 53, he asks him this question. Do you understand what you're reading? And the man replied, how can I? Unless someone instructs me, unless someone explains it to me, how can I understand? And he urges Philip to come in into the carriage and sit with him. When I read this, actually, I mean, this is where my brain goes sometimes. I just imagined the movie Rush Hour, where Jackie Chan and Chris Tucker, and they're just going at it, and Jackie Chan is trying to explain something to Chris Tucker, and finally he's fed up, and he says, do you understand the words coming out of the mouth? To which Chris Tucker says, ain't nobody understand the words coming out of your mouth. Philip here, he understands, he listens that the eunuch is struggling to understand what he's reading. So he asks him, do you understand the words of Isaiah? And he says, how can I unless someone instructs me? How can I unless someone interprets this for me? And it was here and then that Philip is asked to join him into the carriage. And many times we hesitate to draw near to people. Many times we hesitate to sit and listen because we don't know what to do next. But many times, God positions us right where you're at just to sit and listen. I had an opportunity to sit with four wonderful volunteers, folks that attend here at WCC, who have been just living their life on mission. Of those four, I was able to videotape three, capture two on edit. So I'm going to ask if we could watch this video with two that you may know.
So my name is David Albritton. I am retired law enforcement. I served 32 years. I retired in October of 2019. So I've begun serving for a number of different organizations here, as to include Fellowship Mission. I do some regional disaster relief with World Compassion Network. Here at the church with Community Life ESL as a conversation coach. I really enjoyed that. Also a combined community services and the food pantry. So I serve in those different areas, and all of them at some point when I began to serve in them tested my vulnerability at each point along the way. It seems like it was really only like in the last maybe 6 or 7 years like I've heard God, maybe he's nudged me. So I would think to myself, man, what did I miss the first 50 years? But it doesn't really matter. But now, as long as I'm doing something now, and I pick up on a little bit, and you know, I'm making it my journey and my walk with Christ. One of the points that really tested my vulnerability was when Eric Lane asked me to begin mentoring or discipling one of the residents there at Fellowship Mission. And that's been going now for a year. Pretty successful. Ups and downs, but pretty successful. If I can just demonstrate Christ-like behavior when I'm with someone with a kind word or maybe just a listening ear, I'm just called to bring the message that I know.
My name is David Cook. I'm a 7th grade language arts teacher at a middle school here in Warsaw. I teach language arts as well as coach football and coach girls track. What happens a lot of times is that the students that are having those behavior issues are never given a chance. And I've had students yell at me, cuss at me, just be extremely loud. And I look at them when they're all done, and I just ask them, like, are you good? And they look at me and they're like, you're not going to write me up? No. But my classroom, there's a second chance. There's a third chance. There's a fourth chance. There's a fifth chance. I try to show the students grace that has been shown to me. People have shown me grace in my life. They gave me chance after chance, and if it wasn't for those people in my life giving me second chances, showing me Jesus through giving me another chance, showing me Jesus through understanding that I was one of those kids who needed that extra chance, I wouldn't be the man that I am today. Who am I if I don't give you a second chance?
Vulnerability is, it seems scary sometimes, but it's such a rewarding act when the day's at end.
There's a lot going on, but I know for a fact that I am where I am meant to be. The last couple of years where God has spoken to me and shown me, David, this is where you're supposed to be. This is what you're supposed to be doing. You are meant to be here. So I guess my message would be, listen and find out where you're supposed to be.
Really glad that I had a chance to sit down with them and just listen to their stories. And I know there's many, many awesome stories here of just sometimes just sitting, moving in closer, and listening with intent. So who has the Holy Spirit placed in your life and just asking you to just move in closer and listen? And sometimes we may say, but I don't know what to do next. So when we don't know where to begin, you begin and lead with a question. Questions cultivate conversation. The Holy Spirit was already working in the eunuch's heart. He is struggling to understand the scroll that he has, the book of Isaiah. All that Philip had to do was obey the Spirit's gentle nudge to moving closer and to listen. And as he listened to his struggle, he opens up with a question. And it is then and it is here that Philip is invited to join him in the carriage and sit down with him. And I love verse 35. It says, so beginning with the same scripture that he was struggling with, Philip told him the good news about Jesus. Philip, who was a table server, Philip, who ran the church food program, Philip, who was known as the deacon, also in Acts 22 is called the evangelist. Now, I don't know what comes to mind when you think of evangelist. Sometimes it might be this dynamic, charismatic person who speaks in front of a large crowd about Jesus. And when he does this invitation for salvation, the whole platform, the whole arena just comes down with hands lifted high and mascara running down their face and the worship band pumping in the back. Some people may think of Billy Sunday, Billy Graham, T.J. Jakes, Stephen Furtick and say, nope, that is not me. That is way, way outside of my comfort zone. Some of us think of evangelism as taking someone who is a zero on a scale of 100, someone who is hostile to the gospel, and repeating the sinner's prayer to make them a 100, a disciple of Christ. And we hear the word evangelism and we run the other way because we're afraid of what will they say no. What if they say no? About 6-7 weeks ago, I was scrolling, and one of my favorite places to go is Facebook Marketplace, and I'm looking for things that I cannot afford, things that won't fit in my shop anymore, and I'm just scrolling, you know, and I found this power rack. Some of you know what a power rack is, but it was bright yellow. It was beautiful. It had two Olympic barbells, 400 pounds and bumper plates. It had 150 square feet of mat. If you know, you know. And I messaged the guy immediately. Actually, first I asked my wife and she approved the budget, which is why we have a happy marriage. And we set up so I could meet this gentleman at about 11:30. In the morning, and this is Friday morning, and I go over to his place, and immediately I noticed something was off about him. His eyes were red, He was stumbling with his speech and stumbling with his feet. And he smelled like alcohol. My son is sitting in the back of my Silverado. And I was about to just turn and walk away. But I didn't want to give up this power rack. Pretty nice piece of equipment. So we agreed after negotiating on a price, which was his price. And went to the bank, came back with the cash, start loading things up in the back of my Silverado. And I was ignoring this feeling inside. It was a little bit outside of my comfort zone when I'm dealing with business to talk about religion, to talk about my faith, to talk about what I believe in. But as I gave him the envelope and went to shake on the deal, I asked him, and I'm going to change his name, Les, can I pray for you? And he tells me, what would you pray about? And I was shook. The last time I was rejected like that was in eighth grade when I asked that girl to the dance. Now, seriously, there's been many other times of rejection. But I was thrown back that he rejected prayer. And he tells me, I'm sorry. He apologizes and he says, I'm sorry, that was an unfair question. You see, I don't believe in God. I don't believe in prayer. I don't believe in this greater being. All I believe is that you get out of life what you put in. If you put in good, you will take out good. If you put in bad, you'll take out bad. To which I said, I shook my head and goes, cool. I understand. I got your power rack in the back of my Silverado, so I'm good with that. But as we're still holding hands, and the cash is still in my left hand, all of a sudden he opens up and starts just telling me about his life, and he starts telling me how he has been in and out of VA treatments, how he has struggled with depression and anxiety and suicidal thoughts, how he had been diagnosed with alcohol dependency syndrome, and how he's been to church and nothing happens. And that's why I paused and I asked him, because Les, what compelled you to seek help? What compelled you to want to be better? And he shrugs his shoulders and he says, I don't know, maybe something bigger? To which then I repeated the first question, Les, can I pray? And as I'm holding his hand and exchanging the envelope with money still, just a simple prayer, not the sinner's prayer, just a prayer. And I told and I asked God, God, Les doesn't know you, but you know him. You, the creator of the universe who placed the stars in its place, knows Les by name. You know his struggles. You know his addictions. You know his sins. You know his corruption. And that is why you sent your son Jesus to die for him. So, Father, I just ask that you become real in his life and that you surround him with your presence. And as I said, amen, he just hugs me with tears in his eyes and he says, thank you. He asked for my information. I gave him my contact information. We're set. I'm expecting the phone call to have lunch at Cerulean's. I do not know if he accepted Christ or not at that spot, but my job was to walk with him one step closer to the cross. That is what evangelism is. Sometimes it's taking someone from a 0 to a 4, or from a 42 to a 52, or in the case with Philip and the eunuch, all the way to that 100. But we're called to walk with someone closer to the cross. It is allowing our life to spill. So as they rode along, Philip and the eunuch, they came to some water, and the eunuch said, look, there's some water. Why can't I be baptized? So he ordered the chariot to stop, went down into the water, and Philip baptized him. And when they came out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord snatched Philip away, and the eunuch never saw him again. But went on his way rejoicing. The kingdom of God advances and grows one soul at a time. The eunuch isn't bothered by the fact that this deacon was snatched away by the Holy Spirit. Instead, he went on his way rejoicing. Rejoicing because he knew that his sins were forgiven. Rejoicing because his life had been forever changed in that moment. Because someone chose to move in closer, to listen, and to ask that one question. But I also want to believe that he went on rejoicing because he continued reading in Isaiah, three chapters later from where he started with. Isaiah 56, verse 3 and on says, "Let no foreigner say, 'The Lord will never let me be part of his people.' Let no eunuch complain, 'I'm a dried up tree with no children and no future.' For this is what the Lord says, 'To the eunuch who holds fast to my covenant, to them I will give within my temple and its walls a memorial and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them, the eunuch, an everlasting name that will endure forever. And to the foreigner who binds themselves to the Lord, these I will bring to my holy mountain and give them joy in my house." The crazy part of the story is not that God could teleport a deacon, but what God can do with one believing Christian who is willing to step out and live his life on mission. And how the good news gives a eunuch who had no future a legacy. Because the good news breaks down culture and social and racial and economic barriers so that the hurting, the forgotten, the neglected, and the foreigner could join him with joy in his presence. Let us pray. Father God, as we leave this morning and throughout the rest of the week, Lord, as we walk past these doors, let us be mindful that we're walking into our mission field. Lord, that we could take your greatest commandments to love you with our all and to love our neighbors as ourselves to be able to fulfill your great commission. Lord, that your saving grace may spill onto others as we move in and listen. From the gated community to that community center behind gates, let us move in, listen, and cultivate conversation with a question. And in Jesus' name we say and pray, thank you and amen. Church, have a blessed day, have a blessed week, and remember to live that life on mission. Thank you.
If you're encouraged by today's message, please be sure to subscribe on iTunes, Spotify, or wherever you stream your podcasts. For more information about the church or help taking next steps, please visit us at warsaw.cc or follow us on any social media channels. Thank you for joining us for this message and for listening to the Warsaw Community Church Podcast.